In the studio with us, and now Dr. Charles Cole Jr. is with us. He's an orthopedic surgeon at Evangelical Community Hospital. He's working on hitting his third decade at the hospital. Came in the early 1990s, right? Wow, well, welcome aboard. Thank you so much for coming in. I do appreciate that. You are a specialist who is involved in joint replacement, so I think that is very noteworthy because I think a lot of people get joint replacements. Let me sort of start at the beginning. How do people end up in a position where they're going to need a joint replacement?
Well, there's multiple reasons to end up there. Typically, just aging is probably the number one reason. Joints do wear out. Particularly, I deal a lot with knee joints. So knee replacements and knees are the most likely joint to need replaced. So as you age, it wears. And then there's multiple other factors. Genetics, a lot of people in families, it happens to work that way. Trauma, people have had injuries or ligament tears, things around the joint. And other things such as the type of work you do, how much stress you put on the joint. There's factors such as people with rheumatoid arthritis and certain diseases that are more prone to get worn out joints. There's a lot written about weight and obesity. There's some correlation there. So there's multiple factors that lead to having a worn out joint.
Can I do something in my lifestyle now that would help me avoid needing a joint replacement later?
Well, regular exercise, weight control, and just not abusing the joint more than anything would probably help. I think if you're programmed, so to speak, if genetically you're going to get a bad knee or a bad hip, it's probably going to happen. There's really not a way to prevent it. We see a lot of people who are relatively young, and they'll say, well, my father had a bad knee, had his knee replaced, my mother had a bad knee, and so you really can't avoid that. But you can certainly hasten it by abusing the joint with activities that would really put a lot more stress on it than a typical activity would, or a typical person's life.
Men and women in line for these replacements?
Yes, it's slightly higher in women, particularly in knee replacements, which is an area I deal more with. But it's a large number, and getting larger as the population ages and people live longer.
Well, how many knee replacements do you do at Evan? Or does Evan, I guess, would be a better question.
Well, I don't know exactly, but it's quite a few between the hip replacements and knee replacements. We do quite a few knee replacements.
Well, I hear a lot more about it. I mean, it used to be, once in a while you'd hear somebody getting a knee replacement, but now people say, my knees are shopped. Guess what? We're doing this one this time and the other one the other time.
Yes, it's become so popular. Even in my 25, 30, or 27 years I've been doing this, it has dramatically increased the numbers of people getting joint replacements.
All right. Well, yeah, I just saw somebody the other day who's walking at a pretty good pace with a cane, but he said, I just had my knee replaced like within the past week. Is that typical?
Yes. I think that's one big change. When I first started, people would be in the hospital 4 days recovering, and there wasn't as much preparation beforehand. Now there's a lot of preparation that goes into it before we start people on a physical therapy program and get them prepped. There's a lot more instruction, a lot more teaching. Evangelical we have a really nice program, a joint program where people get preoperative teaching. Really are very aware of what's coming, how to do the therapy, what their postoperative course will be like, what they should do before. It's really all-encompassing, and it really works out well. So those sort of advances, and just the mindset that you won't be in the hospital for 4 days with the way the pain control is nowadays and the other advances, it's a much quicker, more predictable procedure. It really is.
All right. So what is the time frames When do I find out that I need a knee replacement? Then I start to heed your advice and get on this regimen of good care and then get the operation. Sort of walk us through a time frame.
Well, I think most people know when they're starting to have a bad joint. I mean, obviously the number one sign is that you have pain with activity. So that's what usually causes people to seek us out. And then usually have a typical evaluation in the office, x-rays, other studies if needed. And then certainly we start with conservative measures. So people come in when the arthritic change is not terrible. It's in the early stages. There's a host of treatment options, anti-inflammatory medicine and exercising, maybe injections and things like that. There's other supplemental medicines that people try. And usually, for a fair number of people, that works for some time. And usually the pain increase correlates the further advance of the wear and tear in the joint. And so when it gets to a point where nothing you do is sufficient, the pain is just all the time, it's limiting your daily activities, or really
can't stand up for 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Or
can't do the things you like to do, take a walk for any significant time. People can't hunt the things you like to do.
that would be the pivot point for me.
Well, but for instance, I mean, a lot of people, everybody has different hobbies and things. But so when it gets to that point and you can't tolerate the pain and your joint is obviously worn out by the studies, then the last option, the ultimate option, is to have a joint replacement.
All right, so going to get a joint replacement. I'll be in the hospital. How long if everything goes satisfactorily?
I really think that's been the biggest change. Typically now, the majority, and I mean the vast majority of people up at Evan, only stay overnight. So they come in on a particular day to have their surgery, and usually the next day, sometime during the day, they're going home.
And this is major surgery.
Major surgery.
And so that day, you get the surgery and you're done probably midday or early afternoon or so. Do they do anything to that joint that evening?
Yeah, well, nothing specific to the joint, but people typically get out of bed. So they walk from their bed to a chair and spend some time out of bed that night. And then the next day, physical therapy sees them twice that day. And by the end of the day, unless they're having any difficulties, they typically can go home.
Okay, so you go home, and you're certainly going to take it easy at home, but you no longer need to stay in the hospital.
Right.
That's probably great news for a lot of people.
It is.
All right, maybe they might sleep on the first floor of their house particular night. But okay, and the facilities that you're working in have changed and rechanged and rechanged again, and they're going to change again with the Prime expansion that's going to wrap up. Give us a short walk down that timeline of facilities that you've been working in at Evan.
Well, I think the biggest change has been that over the years it's become more specialized. So I'm not exactly sure the time frame, maybe 10 at least 10 years ago or more, we had a designated area where it was an orthopedic area, particularly a joint replacement center, so to speak, where the area of the hospital, the post-operative patients there were hip replacements, knee replacements, primarily orthopedic patients like that. So the nursing staff and the people that were there were very specialized, so that's who they took care of. And so having that designation just made it better for the patients. I think it helped with recovery. Less things were missed, and it was just more pointed for your recovery. So that started in the hospital currently some time ago, and then it's just evolved to where with the new project, the one entire floor of the Prime project, I'm not sure which one, I think it's the third floor, is the orthopedic floor. And there will be just orthopedic patients there. Lots of them will be inpatient joint replacements.
Yeah, we saw they just named a piece of it after Liz's husband.
John Furrier, yes. What a great thing, huh?
Yeah, that's fabulous. Yeah, well, good for him. He's been a real leader, so that's well-deserved. But, okay, so the facilities are going to grow and expand,
yes.
And a state-of-the-art joint replacement facility has what that maybe the previous ones didn't have yet?
Well, I'm not sure there's that much newer, other than it's more coordinated in one area. Physical therapy is right there. I just think the level of what it takes to get well quickly and better overall is just that's I think that's what been the biggest improvement. I think over the years they've ferreted out what's good, what's not good, what helps you get better more quickly, and I think it's just so much of it's in the preparation before. I think teaching actual things such as doing physical therapy beforehand, being prepared and knowing what's coming. I mean, I think one thing that's changed probably in all of medicine is people are more informed. Patients are more informed. It's by, the years of I'm the physician and I know and you don't need to know this, that's not good, and it's certainly passed. I mean, particularly with joint replacements, people should know what's coming, what the steps are. I always tell people in the office, you will know step by step by step what's happening, and they do. So I think it really works out well.
Well, and patients have changed, too. I mean, I'll look stuff up on the web before I go about see it. The doc about something. So
people come in all the time and say that. I was checking the web. So
Jen, that chicken clamp they're using up in New York or something, All right. Well, we're going to take a break. But I am so glad to say Dr. Charles Cole is here. Dr. Cole, Charles Cole, Jr., an orthopedic surgeon at Evan since 1992. And works at Sun Orthopedics of Evangelico, and we're talking about joint replacement. He primarily has been talking about knee replacements, but we'll talk a little bit about hip replacements. We found out why folks need joint replacements, just because sometimes their joints wear out. We'll talk about this information that people do take to the doc these days and what some of their options are and what the long-term prognosis is for people that have knee replacements. There, I can tell they get a new knee and a new life, and that really is it's quite a pivot point in their lives. So we'll continue talking to that with Dr. Charles Cole, Jr. here on WKOK. And thank you so much for joining us on WKOK Sunrise. We are right in the middle of our interview with Dr. Charles Cole, Jr. A lot of people around here know him as Andrea and Emily's dad.
Yes.
Emily Cole. I'm going to just say this. Andrea Cole and Emily Cole got a lot of publicity on the radio and probably in the newspapers. Honduran Souls was a nonprofit endeavor they started, so that makes them noteworthy. And a lot of people know your wife, Wendy Cole, the attorney. So you're brought up and talked about
I'm
around
fourth
here.
Fourth on the pole. Fourth down on the rung.
Right. And some doc, I don't know. Dr. Charles Cole, Jr. is an orthopedic surgeon at Evangelical Community Hospital. Been there for 28 years. We talked in our first segment about this significant evolution of the facilities at EVAM. Tell us about the changes in the procedure over the years. Knee replacements we've been talking about mostly.
Well, I think a couple big changes. Generally, the materials, and that's not so much the procedure, but the materials for the joint replacement are better. They're made better. It's a more standardized procedure. So that lends itself to things not wearing out because of some manufacturing problem, the way it was sterilized, the way it was manufactured. So that's been really honed very well. And then the procedure, I think, just over the years, so when you go to a conference and hear people talk about different ways to do things, I think it's just become more more accurate. You know more now what works and what doesn't work. The parameters of how you should put the joint in versus what doesn't work. Very simply put, like that. So that it's just more likely to get a good result just because of, after all these years of trial and error and knowing what's good, that I think that's been really pointed to. We know better what works, where you should put it, how you should put it in, that sort of thing.
Okay, so you've honed in on that kind of thing. You said the replacements themselves are a little bit better, so you have some patients that will need a second replacement after X number of years to wear it out?
Yes, it can wear out. Both the materials can wear, but that's less likely. I think usually it's because it comes loose. The prosthesis comes loose from after it was inserted for various reasons. Sometimes we're not even sure why. It can happen early, which is very rare, but usually it's a late process.
Well, for some strange reason, I have in my brain about somebody who had a hip replacement and the hip replacement broke or something, or popped out is the word I'm going to use it, but they could put it back in.
Either, yeah. If it just pops out, you can put it in. But they do, it's rare, but it can break even. But that is extremely rare.
Okay. So, and you do hip replacements, too. We talk a little
bit
about that.
Well, I do very few of those, almost none now. I'm sort of mostly doing knee replacements. Early on, I did, but...
Well, you're into the best practices, so keep you on the knees because you're doing that. Now, if I were going to talk to you about knee replacement, is it feasible I would go to you too soon? You would say, Mark, you know, you're not ready yet. It's a little discomfort, but we're going to let that get worse.
That's I see that quite often, particularly in young people. So if you have a bad knee, for instance, and you're 40s, it can really get you down because you can't do certain things. And it may only be, on the scale of how we judge them, medium bad, so to speak. And so we say, well, it's not quite ready for a knee replacement, but it really does really get to the person because you can't do the things you want to do, play with your children and do certain things. It limits it. But it may not be quite objectively bad enough for a replacement where we have our criteria, for instance. So that's navigating that is definitely part of the what I do.
Well, and how do you balance that? If I say, well, Doc, I know it's not quite ripe to use a medical term, but I want it anyway.
I guess I'd say I hope the patient trusts me when I'm telling them, you know, I think it would be best if you wait. And you kind of develop that rapport and give them the reasons why it's better to wait and at your age or just because of the results you may get, you know, in doing it too soon or that sort of thing. So I think it's more of a trust issue that you just have to hopefully believe your doc that he's telling you in your best interest you probably ought to wait or you should do it, you know, either way.
Well, and you have patients that go in now that are going to be pretty informed on this. I mean, thanks to the internet, I'm going to know everything about it.
It's absolutely amazing. I mean,
does that
most
help
people,
you?
I think mostly it does. Mostly it does. Sometimes it confuses people, but mostly it does. And you know, you could go on the internet and watch the procedure. You could literally watch a knee replacement or a hip replacement. You can pull up a video and watch the procedure, which is amazing.
Whether they cut through bone and then fix this and screw that in and tie that over.
Yeah, really.
Like a little erector set or something. What is the average age of somebody who gets this? You said you've done some young people. Well, I guess skip the average for the moment then. What's the earliest and then what's the average?
I've had people 40 that have just had terrible, terrible knees. Mm-hmm. But I would say the average age is people more between 65 and 70.
We get these girls that did field hockey, and there's collisions there, and you got the soccer generation.
Soccer, football,
now.
Ligament injuries. Years ago, people would have cartilage tears, and they had the cartilage removed, and the medical community didn't realize that it was, the orthopedic guys didn't realize it was such a bad thing to take the whole cartilage out, things like that. So 30 years down the road, then you have this bad knee.
Or yeah, Doc Fury can only take them so far.
How about it?
Then they need you. Okay. And you mentioned for some folks it is feasible that they could wear out a second one. They'll get a second knee replacement.
A redo, which is always harder, so we try to avoid that, but it definitely happens.
Why is that harder?
Well, once you go in and have already cut the bone and shaped it a certain way, then when doing it a second time, when it's not, you know, nascent bone, when it's not just fresh bone that you're working on, it's misshapen, it's already been cut, you can't fit it as well, it doesn't adhere as well, those sorts of things just makes it harder, a second procedure.
Okay, so that's not something you always look forward to, but that'll be a challenge for you. Pain management, we have talked so much on this radio station about pain management and opioids. How has that field changed in front of you?
Well, quite a bit, and I think the people at Evan are excellent. I mean, the team that we have doing the joint replacements, our whole team. I mean, it's not certainly not just me. I mean, the nurses, the therapists, the nurse managers, the people who really are very, very attuned to things, particularly, you know, the opioid situation. So we have protocols where we try to limit the pain beforehand and sort of deal with it beforehand and talk to them beforehand about what you may or may not get as far as pain, and then the kind of medicine you'll get afterwards. So they're pretty well informed, patients knowing what they're going to get, what they're not going to get. We have limits on opioids. The anesthesia department at EVAN is excellent. They do some extra procedural things. There's a lot of peripheral nerve blocks, it's called, where they will, in addition to your regular anesthesia, whether it be a spinal anesthetic or a general anesthetic, you get some additional numbing, if you will, sensory block, so that the pain is much less. I think that's really one of the main reasons people can go home so soon, because of the pain management's just been so good. And it's amazing how less the requirement for narcotic medicine has become less and less. We've watched it, and I think it's a good thing. And the awareness is good. It really is.
Oh, yeah, the awareness is out there. We hear this all the time, people saying, you know, I had this, that, or the other thing done. I don't want to take any more than I absolutely have to, and I don't even want to take that which I have to. So they're interested in that. Well, let's talk about sort of the post-op situation. What's the frequently asked questions? You know, post-op, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? Walk me through
limitations.
That.
I mean, typically, most people are doing pretty well about 6 or 8 weeks after their joint replacement. They go through physical therapy afterwards, and then I always tell people it's a process to where it really takes about a year till it's completely healed. And then most people can do the things they want to do. There are some limitations, certainly, high-impact activities we tell people to avoid. But for the most part, most people can get back to doing the things that they want to do at their stage in life.
All right, and they can be pain-free.
Hopefully pain-free. That's the goal, and high percentage are.
And how often do I have to come back and see you after the procedure, after I get a new knee?
Well, that's changed. We used to see them yearly or every couple years, but it became so unnecessary, nothing changed. So it's usually a year after your joint replacement we have you check in, and then basically if you have a problem.
But not until then.
Yes.
Okay, so this is, you could end up never seeing you again.
Yes. I mean,
10 years from now when you retire, yeah. People say, well, where's Doc Cole? And they'll say Florida, yeah, or something, or back in Mount Carmel.
But I can tell you, it's nice to see some of the people that I've operated on many years ago come back.
Any advice for a successful recovery?
Good attitude, being prepared, making sure you're ready for it, that you have exhausted all conservative measures and that you've thought it out and you're making a good decision and you feel comfortable with the facility, with the surgeon, and you'll usually have a good result. I mean, if you need it, it's a really good operation. A joint replacement is really high satisfaction. I mean, of operations done, it has a very good success rate. I mean, some of the highest.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a big pivot point for a lot of people, this mm-hmm. idea, I got my knee replaced, and now I can do X number of things, or garden, or you know, whatever it happened to be. For people who are hunting, I had mentioned that would be my hobby. So if I couldn't hunt, I wouldn't enjoy that, and if I could again, that would certainly be a fabulous thing. An additional comment, anything to add to people? Knee replacements, it's such a big change. Even's really changed a lot to make sure that it's ideal up there.
Yes, EVAN's just an excellent place to have a joint replacement. But I guess I'd say in general is seek treatment. You know, if you have pain, it's always good to get an idea where you stand, how bad is it, and then you can sort of decide and be treated over time. I mean, there's lots of good treatment that's not surgical, and surgery is the final option, and it works very well. It really does when you need it.
Well, the ibuprofen is a lifesaver.
How about it?
Is a game changer for a lot of folks around here. Well, congratulations to Andrea and Emily for raising up a fine good doctor up at Evangelical Community Hospital. We appreciate them and you. So thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Charles Cole, Jr., orthopedic surgeon at Sun Orthopedics of Evangelical, talking about this. If you missed any portion of our interview, it'll be posted shortly on the WKOK podcast page.